Book of Genesis, please, and chapter 28. Book of Genesis, chapter 28. It's a privilege to be with you tonight in Carleton, and we trust that the Lord will bless His Word, and not only the reading of the Word, but that which will follow for His glory. Now, Genesis 28, and we'll read verse number 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now over, please, to chapter 31. And verse number 2. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return thee unto the land of thy kindred. Now that's all we'll read at this point, although we'll make further reference just briefly to these verses before us. Now Jacob was a remarkable character in the Old Testament, and I think we can see clearly here in chapter 31 that Jacob is facing a change of circumstance in his experience. God has appeared to him again and has spoken to him and has told him to return unto the land of his forefathers, or unto the land of thy fathers. Back to the land of Canaan he had to go. And really, as I thought of that, you know, that's just like Christian experience, isn't it? It's constantly that we're facing changing circumstances in our lives. That's just how it is. Sometimes we rise up to the mountain peaks and we would like to stop the clock right there and just stay there. But time passes, things change. Jacob is facing a change in circumstances. But he has got a promise from God. I think we can see that clearly in verse number 3 at the end of the verse. God said, and I will be with thee. Now, that was good to get a promise like that. You'll notice it was a reiteration of the same promise that he got in the previous chapter, or rather in chapter 28 where we read. When back there at the beginning, when he had that first experience, as it were, with God, God promised that he would be with him. And now many years down the road, he gets a further confirmation of the same promise that God would be with him. I think Joshua also got the same promise from God, you remember, in chapter 1 of his book. When the Lord said, Moses, my servant, is dead. But then he said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. So shall I be with thee. And he got the same promise that Jacob got here, and I will be with thee. It's the same promise that we can take to our own hearts tonight. As we perhaps face changing circumstances in each one of our lives. For did not our Lord Jesus Christ say in Matthew 28, and lo, I am with thee all the day, even unto the end of the age. And so we have these precious promises that we can take to our own hearts, even as these men of old did as well. Not only did he have the promise of God, but you'll notice that he could bear testimony to the fact that he had enjoyed the presence of God in his experience in these intervening years. Notice the end of verse 5. Speaking to his wives, he says, "But the God of my father hath been with me." He had enjoyed something of the presence of God in his experience throughout those intervening years. Then you'll notice again at the end of verse 7. He had enjoyed something of the protection of God. "Your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." He was enjoying the protection of God. And then again in verse number 9, you'll notice something else that he had from God. "Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and hath given them to me. And Jacob has received of the provision of God." He's in possession now of the promise of God. He can look back to past experiences and recall the presence of God. And then he can bear testimony to the protection of God. And he can also speak of the provision of God. And I'm sure each one of us tonight, in our own lives, as we look back over the days and the months and the years that are past of our Christian experience, we can recall not only promises that we've enjoyed, we've enjoyed his presence, and we've enjoyed something of his protection, and thank God for his provision as well. And then you'll notice too, just in passing here, as Jacob faces this change in life, as he's going to move out from this land of Haran and go back to the land of Canaan, you'll notice that his wives were with him. Notice verse number 16, his wives reply to Jacob and say, "For all the riches which God hath taken from our father," that is ours and our children's, "now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do." I thought that was good, that Jacob in this move which he had to make at the word of God, he had his wives with him in it. And that is certainly something that's very important for us, those of us that are married, that there should be unanimity between us as we would seek to move according to the will of God and seek to function for him in testimony for his glory. Now that's all I'm going to say about the passage before us for the sake of time. As you know, we have been asked to tell a little of our exercise with regard to the work of God. And in particular, our exercise for the work in Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, further to the east. I guess, first of all, I should tell you something of how we came to be in North America. For as most know, we come from Northern Ireland. And it was some 5.5 years ago now that we made our move from Northern Ireland and came to Canada. Our exercise to come to Canada was something that developed, I think, from the fall of 87, when we met our brother Stan Wells over in the old country. He was there on vacation, and talking about destinations for holidays, he suggested that if ever we wanted to come to Vancouver, that there would be a bed for us, a place to stay. And so we thanked him very much for that offer, and we thought about it. And throughout the winter months, we had further correspondence with our brother. And the end of that was we came here in May of 88 on vacation. Now, we did not come determined in any way to emigrate to Canada. But we did come with an open mind, and we looked around when we were here. And I visited with some appraisers, real estate appraisers. That was the profession that we were in. And I had a number of interviews at that time. But nothing seemed to come of it. That is, not until the Thursday before we were due to leave and go back to the old country. I had one further interview with a Carl Nielsen. And the time was 9:30, I remember. And I went downtown on the Sky train, and remember we were a few minutes early, so I got off at Burrard Street station, and since I had time on my hands, sat down at the fountain there at the Bentall Centre on Dunsmuir Street, and had a word of prayer, and just committed the issue to God that if it was His will for us to make the move to Canada, that He would open the way for us, it was necessary to have an offer of employment. I opened my eyes and watched the water cascading down there at the fountains and looked over at the planter with the vegetation and so on. And instantly into my mind came the verse from Psalm 1. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I thought that was good. I took that as a promise from God, that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We went along to the interview, and we had our conversation about the market and about the fluctuations in the market and so on. And time was running out, and I saw that there was going to be no offer of employment coming from this, so I took the bull by the horns. For whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I looked Carl Nielsen in the eye and said, if I was sitting here with immigration, could you give me a start? And without hesitating, he looked back at me and said yes. Well, I was somewhat surprised. But there it was. An offer of employment, a verbal offer. Albeit you needed a written offer to get immigration to Canada. But however, we went back to the old country and we sent off for the forms and they duly came back and we filled them in and pointed out on a separate piece of paper that we had this verbal offer of employment provided we were successful with immigration. Well, to cut a long story short, we went for our immigration interview to London, England, flew over there and sat the interview in early November of 88. And the interviewer told us at the time that we were accepted and that we could expect our visas about February of 1989. So, seemed the way was opening. We were continuing to pray about it, and we felt that as the way opened, our open-mindedness seemed to change to a desire more and more to come. Well, we hadn't told anybody about what we were thinking. And I should say at this time, my father's health was deteriorating. He hadn't been well after the conference in Larne in the fall of the year. And then following the conference in Lurgan in October, he was hospitalized. His problem was his heart. 6 years previously, he had open heart surgery, and his condition was obviously becoming worse to the point where he could do very little. Mid-November, he was found again in hospital, and it was obvious to us that he was being able to do less and less as time went on. The problem was the waiting list for further surgery was a year long. And we could see that he wasn't going to last a year. Well, it left us with a dilemma. Could we leave the old country and leave my mother with my father, at best a cardiac invalid, or leave my mother a widow? At that time, they were having their house renovated, and there were difficulties, obviously, with moving and so on. What were we to do? We're bringing the matter before God. We felt that since God was leading and God was guiding, that if we were prepared to trust Him and leave the matter with Him and move forward in our exercise towards Canada, that my father's condition would be in his hands. When we presented that in prayer, it was then that we had peace to ask specifically that my father should be raised up again. I remember that night clearly. It was one of those occasions, brethren, when you're very conscious that God is heard. That was December the 6th. December the 7th, the visas arrived. But you see, we weren't expecting those until February. So it seemed that God was moving. What were we to do, though? My father's condition. Again, we brought the matter before God in prayer, and again there was peace to ask God that he would be pleased to raise my father up again. I lifted the phone and phoned my mother and told her for the first time that we were resolved to go to Canada. We felt the Lord was leading and the visas were in hand. And I said, don't be surprised if my father's surgery is brought forward. She replied that she was sure it would. My father was relying upon a promise in 2 Corinthians 1 and 9. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. My father had the surgery early January, the next month, and made a good recovery. He was spared to us for a further 5.5 years. Well, we had to now start making our move to Canada, and we put the house in the market at the beginning of the year. And I'm telling you this, by the way, because you'll see that there are certain parallels between our experience in coming to Canada and our exercise regarding our move to the States. The house came on the market, and after a few days, there was a man called Najimsi came, looked through the house, and next day made an offer at the price. Great, we're on our way. The next day he phoned up and withdrew it. I knew the market was bad, it was dead, and the house sat. For 2 months, the house sat. We were continuing to bring the matter before God, and I remember towards the end of February of that year, 89, I was reading in 2 Samuel in my daily reading and came across the experience of David as he sat before the Lord. And you remember the words of David on that occasion. He said, "And now, O Lord God, the word which thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it and do as thou hast said." I thought that was good. So I started to pray that. That was the note in my diary tells me it was on a Wednesday. Following Saturday, there was a man called Najimsi phoned the office and said that he would like to view the house again. Same man. So he made the appointment for Tuesday and came and looked through and off he went. That Tuesday evening, I'd now gotten through into 1 Kings in my reading, and chapter 12, verse 15, reading concerning Rehoboam and the advice that was given to him of the young men. You remember? I was reading a Newbery, small Newbery. The marginal reading read like this. "But this turn of events was from the Lord. that he might perform the saying which he spake by the mouth of the prophet. It was just that principle behind a turn of events, there is the Lord. That was a Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, the gypsy phoned. He had another offer. Above the price. Great. Only one problem. He wanted completion in 2 weeks, or in 2 months rather. That meant we had to be out in 2 months. Well, what was the problem with that? Well, it was just this. I had to give 2 months notice and work. Now here, we were in another dilemma. If I give him my notice to work, and my gypsy pulls out of the contract, like he let us down before, well then we're left with a house and a mortgage to pay and no employment. What were we to do? Well, this turn of events is from the Lord, that he might perform the saying which he spake. So on the strength of that, we gave in our notice, and two months later, the house sold, and we made our move to Canada, arriving in Vancouver on May the 5th, 1989. God was true to his promise in all of these things. When we arrived here, employment was not immediately forthcoming, not for 6 weeks. Carl Nielsen eventually hired us, but with a 6 weeks delay. And I remember those days, they were days of frustration for us. And I remember too that our brother Jim Bell often phoned and had words of encouragement for us, and we greatly appreciated that, as we have his many words of encouragement since. In the fall of that year, 1989, our brother Tom Bentley visited the city here. And we met him one day for lunch downtown. Halfway through the lunch, our brother looked at me and he said, just out of the blue, he said, have you any aspirations for the work of God? Well, I didn't have any definite plans in that direction, so I told him so. I said, no, I see my work at this point as being to be a help in the assemblies, if we can, in and around Vancouver, and to gain the confidence of our brethren. So that was that. I have to move forward now in time, for the sake of time, and come to the fall of 91. You remember in the fall of that year, Carlton had meetings here in the hall, and our brother Arthur Ward and brother Eric McCullough had several weeks of gospel meetings. One lunch hour, again, I met with our brother Art Ward downtown, and we had lunch together. And we were talking about different things. One of the things that we were talking about was an exercise we had regarding the gospel in the East Hastings Hall. And wondering how we should go about it and how we should approach it. And our brother gave the advice to speak to our brethren and make sure that everything is in fellowship with your own brethren and take it from there. Also in the course of our conversation, he said to me, you know, you should think about Wisconsin. Well, I thought about it and thought that's good, but, you know, that's just so far out. Immigration to the States is impossible. We've just virtually arrived in Canada, and that was that. We put it to the back of our mind. Well, the meetings came. Time for the meetings came in East Hastings. In January and February of 1992. And looking back on those meetings, they were an encouragement to us. Our brother Harold Warnock had worked in the area for a long time, and there were contacts made with the people, and I think for the 4 weeks that we were there, There were people in from the district every night, apart from two nights. The rest of the nights we had people in from the district. And we believe that God was speaking to some in those meetings. And there was a sense of the Lord's presence and joy. It's too bad that shortly after that, the hall was disposed of and it became a Buddhist temple. Well, throughout the year of 1992, we had ongoing correspondence with our brother Art Ward, and invariably the news would come back from Wisconsin of blessing in the gospel, souls getting saved. And it was a real encouragement to us to see that God was still working here in North America. In the meantime, we were exercised regarding further meetings. And rather than speaking to anyone about it, we took it to God in prayer and left it with Him. There was an obvious need in Main Street, but we didn't say anything to anybody. We kept it to ourselves. And left it with God. There appeared to be no openings. But towards the fall of, or towards the end of that year, 1992, our brother, Andy Boyd spoke to Wesley Barr and said to him, "How about you and William Skates coming over for some meetings in Main Street?" Well, it was an answer to prayer. And so we went over to Main Street there at the beginning of 1993 and had some meetings there. And again, it was a time of encouragement to us. There were good numbers came out, and it seemed there were some interested at that particular time, and the saints seemed to be cheered by the renewed effort in the gospel in that hall. Moving on now, early March, I saw an advertisement in the paper regarding immigration to the States. We still had this exercise, or rather this interest in Wisconsin was now changing into something of an exercise regarding that direction, but we couldn't see how we could ever get immigration to the States. And then we saw this advertisement. It was advertising what is known as the AA1 program. It was the last year of this program to run. A historic shortfall in immigration from certain countries had been found in the States, and they brought in special legislation to make up that shortfall. One of the countries concerned was Ireland. And the way it worked was, there was a random selection of names selected globally. The total number selected was 50,000. That's not a big number globally. Out of that 50,000, there would be 40,000 visas issued. I'll tell you a little more about that later. So we made our application, we sent it in at the beginning of March, and left the matter with God. Just at the beginning of March, a letter came from our brother Tom Bentley. You remember the conversation we had with him earlier? And this is what he wrote. "Now about you. Surely you cannot be oblivious to the need. By now you will be fully aware of conditions, events, etc., but I feel it is time you stepped out and got at it while you were young. I sincerely hope and pray you will have had deep exercise already in this direction." He goes on to speak about his visit to India and how that there were those engaged in the work there with very little background, and he says, "I trust the Lord will lay all this heavily on your heart." Wow. You may as well have hit me with a brick. How did he know? How did he know the exercise that was in our hearts? How did he know the thoughts that were going through our minds? When is the time? What is the right thing to do? How can it possibly unfold for us? There it was. Well, the notification from the States, from the immigration people, was due to arrive at the end of June. If you were not notified, you had missed your chance. They wouldn't send any other indication that you had been turned down or anything like that. Simply, if you were notified, you got in, or you went to the next stage. But if you weren't notified, it's dead in the water. So, what not? Well, we were continuing to pray about it. We couldn't see how possibly the way could open. June came and June went. Deadline was passed. How can it possibly be that ever our feet will be directed towards the States? Bringing the matter in prayer before God on the 8th of July, a Thursday evening. July, a Thursday evening. Very burdened before God. I turn to Psalm 143 before turning out the light that night. I was looking up another little expression in the psalm, but the psalm seemed to just fit the burden of my heart at that moment, and I read on down through it, and I came to verse number 8, and I read this. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. It was just those words at the beginning of verse 8 that really got home to my heart. Cause me to know thy loving kindness in the morning. I went to bed that night fully convinced that in the morning I would have the answer. Friday, the 9th of July came, the morning went, the day went. The weekend came, the weekend went, still no answer. Monday came and went, no answer. Tuesday came, same thing. Wednesday morning, going out to work, there's a letter here. Who's it from? It's from Art Ward. I asked my wife, what's the postmark on the letter? The 9th of July. Read the letter. In the letter, our brother was looking for workers for Wisconsin. Mentioning the need, mentioning the work, and the shortage of work. That's good. There's a need. But a need is not enough. We need the way to open. The deadline is passed. What are we to do? Well, moving on to October of that year, 93, big white envelope arrived one morning from the immigration people saying that we were now registered in the program. But after all this time, we were now on to the next stage. It was amazing to us. So, what we had to do was get our documents together and get a letter of employment, offering employment in the States. Well, our exercise was towards the work of God. What were we going to do? In November, our brother Art was in touch with us again, and he suggested that we come and pay a visit to Wisconsin, which we did at the beginning of this year. We spent some time with him in Waukesha, a suburb of Milwaukee, where there's a new work going on. And my, what an encouragement that was to our hearts. There were 9 believers, not long saved, gathering together on a regular basis to read the scriptures and for the preaching of the gospel. Full of zeal, full of warmth, just drinking in the truth of the Word of God as they discovered it for the first time, Nights were spent at 2 and 3 in the morning with the Bibles open in Bible reading sessions. It was truly an encouragement to us. But what about this letter of employment? Well, our brother Art suggested that really I should get on the phone to some appraisers in Milwaukee and see if they could give me no employment. But, you know, I just didn't have the heart to answer that phone. I just didn't have it in me to lift it. I left it with God. If God was leading us in that direction, we weren't going to come in as appraisers. We were going to come in as He would open the way for us for the work of God. We've been in touch with our brother Jim Smith, who had also got immigration in the early 70s. And to get over this point of employment, what he had was 3 letters from assemblies indicating the system of support for commanded workers. Without any guaranteed salary, without any guaranteed employment as such. So, following that wording, there were 3 assemblies in Wisconsin that were happy to give us the necessary letters, notarized, and so on. Oh, I should have told you that before we got to that stage. We had spoken to our brethren in Woodland, very important step, we better not miss this. And they indicated they were happy to commend us when immigration would come through. So then we got the letters from Wisconsin, and we submitted them to the authorities. And our appointment was scheduled for July 21 of this year, and we went along. And it was like an army boot camp. It was a rigorous interview. But God overruled, and the next day we were issued with the visas for the States. And so there we are. The house is on the market, and we wait for God to open the way fully and to sell the property that we may make our move towards Wisconsin. I'd like to have told you more about what is happening there. There's still encouraging news coming back regarding the work in Waukesha. 2 new believers have been added to the work just in the past week. And at this point in time, there's approximately 15 that are meeting together on a regular basis. Do pray for that work. Pray for our brother Art Ward. And pray for us as we would seek to move forward in the will of God. Our brother Waterson.